Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. Time for a segment I like to call Dave's Gone Cultural, which, as most of the time it tends to be, will be about theater, except for this episode, called The Young Bostonian. I'm going to talk a bit about Boston theater. As I mentioned at the top of the show, went to see a couple of productions when I was in town, including Butley with actor Nathan Lane, and also Sheer Madness. But I'm not going to talk about these just by myself. I have with me on the phone a very special guest, a very honored guest. He's a professor emeritus of music at Brandeis. He's also a Harvard graduate, president of the Boston Critics Association, and also president of the Elliot Norton Awards, which gives out awards for excellence in Boston theater. I could only be talking about, really, the one and only Caldwell Titcomb, and I'm very happy to have him on Dave's Gone By. Hi, Caldwell.
Hi, I'm delighted to be with you.
Great to hear from you. Let's get right into it, and Butley, which opened just a week ago with Nathan Lane, is a 1971 Simon Gray play about a college professor, English college professor, who's having essentially the worst day of his life. All the people that are meaningful to him, that he loves in whatever way he can love, are leaving him one by one under different kinds of circumstances. What do you think of the play itself, since it's considered something of a minor classic, and then what did you think of this production at the Huntington Company?
I like the play, but I don't think it's up to his best.
Mm-hmm.
Such plays as The Common Pursuit and Quatermain's Terms, I think, have more plot in them than Butley. I think it's a little short on plot.
I agree. It's a 2.5-hour play, so you really start to feel that absence. And I think it's just sort of filled with this personality trying to be all jokey and sarcastic and get around things while all is crumbling around him. What did you think, given what your feelings about the play itself?
Given the play, I thought it was a good production, but not a great production. I think it makes a difference whether somebody saw Alan Bates in the original,
mm-hmm.
which I did, which was, 30 years ago.
What was so special about...
Then there was... He also made a film version, which I've never seen. But I do recall seeing the performance. It was a remarkable stage performance and won the Tony Award in New York as the best actor of the season. So I think that somebody who saw that would say that Nathan Lane doesn't quite match up to it, although he's a very gifted performer. There's no doubt about that.
But what's missing from the Lane performance that was in the Bates performance?
Well, I think the sense of where he has fallen from. I don't think that Nathan Lane conveys the level at which he started out that would warrant his holding a post such as he does.
So this is really a once great...
So that the sense of falling from a height to this sardonic, rather sad position that he finds himself in during most of the play is not made clear, so that when he is challenged by this character, Reg, very late in the play,
mm-hmm.
It doesn't have the power that it ought to have and that it did have with Alan Bates. But I think the people who didn't see Bates certainly were pleased to see Nathan Lane stretching a bit.
Well, actually, you mentioned Alan Bates. Bates' son, Benedict Bates, plays a role in this production. He's kind of the ex-lover and co-school office chum of Bates. What did you think of him?
Well, I thought it was okay, but a bit bland.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
The character, Reg, who comes in late in the play, I think was much more impressive.
Yeah, a guy named Jake Weber.
Jake Weber.
Striking voice, I thought. I mean, as soon as he came on, you're like, oh, who is this? And that was probably the most interesting part of the production for me. I was pretty bored with the whole thing. Even
yeah,
the
place sort of picked up and crackled a little bit more, had a little bit more magnetism when that character comes in, but of course it's very near the end of the play.
Right.
And you sat through a great deal before that happens.
Moving on to other stuff, I was going to talk with you about Sheer Madness, which has been running in Boston. It's like one of the longest running plays in the country.
That's right, and I have to admit that I've never seen it.
Now, why is that?
This business of having the audience choose how the play ends and so forth is something that just doesn't tickle my fancy particularly. I like to have a playwright who fashions the whole script with a beginning, a middle, and an end instead of leaving it up to the audience. So I've never gone to see it.
Well,
it's sort of like Agatha Christie's The Mousetrap in London, which has been running for 50 years or more.
And you've never seen that one?
I have seen that, but not over there.
Well, because you are...
I've seen it twice, and that's enough.
Well,
but,
I have to say...
Maybe I ought to go see Sheer Madness. It's provided a terrific outlet for our local actors who sort of drop in and do it for a few weeks and then go off and act in something else, and then when that's over, they come back to Sheer Madness.
Well, it
so
seems like...
there's been an enormous... number of people in the Boston area who have been employed by that play, so I'm happy that they have work.
And I have to say, it seems like they're having a lot of fun on stage. Maybe they're faking it, maybe 90% of the ad-libs they've been doing for week after week, because, you know, they also make new jokes throughout the whole show. They try to be topical.
Yeah.
You know, it's a 25-year-old play that's actually based on a serious play by Paul Portner, which was a crime thriller, but it had that gimmick of having the audience pick which of the characters was actually the murderer. And so they kept that, but then they made it a complete ridiculous farce, and that's the fun of it. I thought it was very pleasantly surprised. Had a wonderful time with it. I think you're missing
something. Yeah, maybe I should go see it. I'll give it some thought.
But something you did see, we might as well talk about it. You mentioned that Les Mis came into town, a national tour of
it. That's just come with the whole New York set and so forth. I think it's one of the all-time great musicals, and I was surprised that the critic for the Boston Globe called it Ersatz depictions of love amid the ruins, and that it was a quasi-operatic score without a sincere note in it, which I find a very strange comment. I think it's got wonderful music, particularly compared to, say, Andrew Lloyd Webber, whom I detest.
Wow.
But I think Les Miserables has wonderful music, and I come out of the theater every time I see it, humming it, and I find it very impressive.
Did they?
Much more so than Miss Saigon, which I think is okay, but not in the same league, and Martin Gare by the same team, which I saw in London.
Right.
And I didn't care for that too much either, but I think Les Miserables is really up there with the best.
I think it's a powerful show. I saw it about three times when it was on Broadway, and always, you know, I always figured it was a little too long. I didn't see it after they chopped.
Yeah, it's a long show. It's 3 hours, yeah.
No, actually, it was 3 hours and 15 minutes in New York for a bunch of years. And then towards the end, when they were trying to save money on overtime union costs, they cut about 15 minutes.
Yeah, well, it was exactly 3 hours here.
Oh, maybe they incorporated.
And they had wonderful singers, including the Jean Valjean was the one who was chosen to give the last Broadway performance.
Oh, wow.
So he's the lead in the Boston run. And he was very impressive.
What's his name? Do you remember? Well, whoever he was very impressive. I want to ask one more question because we've got to wrap the segment up. But if you had to give just a short overview of the quality and what's going on in Boston theater over like the past couple of years or how it is over there, what would you say?
I would say it's on the upswing. The Huntington Theater Company that is putting on Butley is building two new theaters. They're under construction now and will be functioning next season. smaller theaters so that they can do new works and things that have a smaller appeal.
Uh-huh.
So that's we haven't had a new theater built in Boston for ages. So to have two of them at once is going to be a great help.
Mm-hmm.
And the old opera house is being renovated by Clear Channel Entertainment, and they're going to open, bring in The Lion King for a long, long run starting next summer.
Wow. So, but what about
so
the homegrown?
They're pouring something like, I think, $25 or $30 million into bringing back the old opera house, which is sat unused for a good many years.
So it's almost a transition thing, but it looks like in about 2 years it's going to be a whole regeneration of something new there, pretty much.
Right.
Which will trickle down into the other theaters and arts and restaurants around it.
One other thing.
Sure.
The musical Man of No Importance, which is running now,
mm-hmm.
is the first collaboration between two companies, the Shugan Company and the Speakeasy Stage Company. So I think that's going to stimulate other collaborations between our local troops that tend to stay independent.
Well, yeah, I mean, they do that in Chicago a lot, in New York a lot, all this kind of, you know, New Haven and I think Hartford do a lot of stuff together. So, yeah, that could also lead to a lot of exciting stuff. Anyway, I want to thank you, Caldwell, so much for taking a few minutes and talking about Boston Theater with us, and I want to wish you all the best for a great season, and thanks for joining us on Dave's Gone By.
You're very welcome. Delighted to be with you.